All right, Jesus here is healing, and it's a Sabbath day. He's teaching, it's a Sabbath day, and he dedicates quite a bit of time in Matthew chapter number 12 to something that we don't always think about. We could have talked about it last month, stewardship, but it's our words, our words. Look at verse number 31, and we'll look at these in detail as we go along. Verse number 31, he deals with our words toward God. You know, sometimes we just kind of flippantly mention God in our conversation, and sometimes you hear it maybe at work. I know a lot of times I'd hear it when I was working in a factory, and they'd mention Jesus' name, and I'd walk over and go, "Oh, do you know him?" And they're always like, "Who?" I said, "Jesus. I just heard you mention his name." That was a great conversation starter, isn't it? And you know, people mention God, and they bring God into conversation, and God said, "Okay, I am going to keep track of those words. And I am going to mark down those words, and I will have you account for those words." Look at verse number 32. "And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." So our words are recorded for all eternity. You know, we're looking at the Great White Throne Judgment on Wednesday night, and the books were open. And one of the books that will be open is the book that contains the words that everyone has spoken in this world on that day. So our words are recorded for all eternity. Then Jesus' disciples, they were rebuked one time, and Jesus said, "Listen, if they stop praising, then even the rocks would cry out, the stones would cry out." And so somehow God is recording words. We better be careful. We live in the Granite State. There's a lot of ability there somehow recording words, a lot of stones, right? Number 33, the consistency of our words. "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit." Now, this is all in the context of our words. So the Bible is saying if there's a good tree, it should have good fruit. It should have good words. If there's an evil tree, it brings forth evil fruit, evil words. And so we have to be careful, because what our words are tell a lot about what's inside of us and what's in our heart and what kind of a person that we are. Verse 34 goes on and it reiterates that point. "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." The source of our words is our heart. Verse 35, the identifying of a person by their words. "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." So we can identify what's inside of a person. The Bible doesn't say that we shouldn't do it. It says you can tell what's in a person's heart by what comes out of their mouth. And then verse 36, the specific details of each small word. Jesus said this, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." And then verse 37, finally, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." What we say matters. Our conversation matters. What comes out of our mouth matters. Let's look at our conversation. You know, I say, look at our conversation. We really don't look at it. We hear it. I remember reading a little cartoon one time, and you know, it was so cold that when I think it was the Eskimos, you know, they were talking, and the words would come out in blocks of ice, right? And so they had to heat them up over the candle. And, wow, you know, and then it talked, right? And it really didn't unthaw their words, right? And does that really happen? No. But we really don't see words. We hear words unless you're on. I think we had a. Little, what's that captioning, right? One time on our sermon there, I was watching, and so it was doing computer-generated captioning. You got to be careful about that, right? Some words don't always come out the right way, and they can be kind of interesting. But so I'll give an account for those words. Here's an interesting statistic, and statistics are great because 90% of people forget statistics after they leave church, right? That's a great statistic, isn't it? So we average 7,000 words a day. I was reading about men average, I don't know, 5,000 words a day. Women average 10,000 words. And then out of those, now there's 500 to 700 essential words. And that's why they say men ignore most of what women say, right? Isn't that terrible? And it was in a book called Men Are Pigs, But Women Like Pork. So I don't know if it's a good book or a bad book, right? But just food for thought. And that would not go over good in a synagogue. But here we go. So we average 7,000 words a day. That's a lot. You say, you know, some people even talk in their sleep. I mean, they're just trying to get in some extra ones, aren't they? Just haven't got my quota in. And it's interesting. You're not responsible for what you say in your sleep, right? Just if you don't wake them up, though, just listen and keep a record. And now, the average adult sends and receives 128 text messages every day. You say, well, that's not me. All right, well, maybe you're below average, but sometimes check and see if you're not in the average. That's the average adult. 1 billion people, think about how many people live on the planet. 1 billion people use Instagram. That's a lot. 500, I'm in the minority, okay? 500 million daily use Snapchat. There are 4.18 billion mobile internet users. That's almost everybody on the planet. On apps and videos and photos, they have things on these different apps that get deleted. But you know what? God has them all. Because every idle word, you can't delete them from God. Try doing that. God says, that's okay. You can delete them, but I got them. I captured them. In now I messed up. I can't even. I have those nuclear problems from this morning, right? Ephemeral messages. Media deletes after viewing. And God says, okay, it's an idle word. I got it. 79% of smartphone users use Instagram. With Facebook, Twitter, and email, it's safe to say that our generation has the record for abundance of words. We have a record for abundance of words. Here's a statistic from the Sword of the Lord, or an article. TikTok enticing kids into having trans surgeries and taking cross-sex hormones. Child advocates opposed to trans ideology have warned about the risks of allowing children to use TikTok, particularly as evidence mounts that youth are being enticed to take experimental puberty blockers and undergo elective surgeries to remove essential body parts. According to an analysis by the Daily Mail, TikTok videos with the hashtag trans have been viewed over 26 billion times. Think about how many times that is. That's like, you know, 4 times for every person on earth, right? 26 billion times. You tell me there's not an agenda. Such videos often feature young people documenting in a fun, lighthearted way the various stages of undergoing experimental hormones and irreversible body-altering surgeries to appear more as the opposite sex. The popular social networking service was reported the most downloaded apps in the UK last year. Parents in the UK, United Kingdom, are increasingly concerned that the app is fueling a contagion, luring vulnerable young people into identifying as the opposite sex and potentially a lifetime of harmful repercussions. TikTok's own figures reveal that over 25% of TikTok users ages 15 to 25 and children between the ages of 4 and 15 use the service for 69 minutes per day on average. Groups critical to transgenderism say that the proliferation of the ideology on social media puts young people at serious risk, given how it's promoted as the latest trend. And it goes on, it's hugely influential and it's full of videos that portray medical transitions as cool and edgy. Gender is seen as the new rebellion. It goes on and on and on. And that's what people are watching. And that's what's being promoted. And that's what people are being lured into. Our conversation is important. Look, when I was growing up, our conversation was alphabet soup, right? We used to have alphabet soup and we take the little letters out. And how about we even had alphabet cereal? Remember that one? Okay, I don't know what kind of prize they had in them, but they were pretty good. And I mean, we had conversations with cereal, and we've come a long ways since Captain Crunch, right? Now, they even have Fruity Pebbles in their fruity, okay? That's another subject for another time. Now, number one, let's ask the Lord to approve our words. Look, if you would, at Psalm 19. Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19, and here's a verse that you'll know. But it ought to be on the tip of our tongue every day. We ought to ask this as a prayer request. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth, our conversation, what we speak about, what we chat about, what we text about, what we, whatever app about, you pick your, they probably came out with a new one since today. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's ask the Lord to approve our words. You know, every morning when you wake up, you ought to say that. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. That's a Bible prayer. Be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, sometimes we talk a lot different when people are around. We act a lot different when people are around, don't we? I mean, even little kids do it, don't they? I'm reminded of the story. A pastor came over to visit a family in his church, and the little boy, I mean, they lived out in the country, and the little boy was having fun, because little boys do this, right? And he was outside, and he caught a frog. And so he ran in and he says, Mommy, Mommy, I caught a frog. And he didn't see the pastor was there. And he says, I grabbed the frog by the back legs and I slammed them on the sidewalk and I slammed them on the wall and I slammed them on the car. And he saw the pastor and he said, and then the Lord took him home. Sometimes we act differently when different people are around, right? We talk differently when different people are around. Well, if we'd realize the Lord's around all the time. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Matthew chapter 12 in our text, verse number 34. O generation of vipers. Boy, Jesus had some great conversations, didn't he? He didn't mince any words. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So here's the thought. It starts with our thinking. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Do we ask the Lord to control our thoughts? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It ought to be a daily prayer. Lord, help me to think what you want me to think today. Help me to honor you in my thinking. Because if our thoughts are right, if our heart is right, that's what I'm talking about, I'm not talking about the physical organ. If our mind is right, if our thinking is right, our words are going to follow. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5. Casting down imaginations. Now, don't miss that little phrase. We'll come back to it. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into, what's the next word? Captivity, how many? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I've got a very picturesque mind, right? I can just picture these thoughts are like running wild. Then you got to lasso them. Woo, bring that thought back. Hey, that thought's going the wrong place. I'm going to capture it. I'm going to catch it. I'm going to reel it in. I'm going to keep it from getting away. It's not going to be a wild thought. It's going to be in control. So the Bible says here that we are to capture our own thoughts. Now, if you're going to do that, you have to cast down some things. Casting down some things. Look what it says. Casting down what? Imaginations. What is the root word of imagination? Image. You know, an image is an idea that comes from idolatry. People would worship images. They'd make images of things on the earth. They'd worship an image of the sun. They'd worship an image of some god. They'd make up some god with like six arms, right? You've seen pictures of them before. They'd worship an image of an animal. So our mind can put images of things that are against God and they become an idol. This comes from idolatry. There is a battle daily in your thought life for the control of the throne of your heart. Who is sitting on the throne of your heart? Who is reigning on the throne of your heart? Who is controlling your thinking? You know, well, it's me. Okay, well, that's bad. Because I'm not a good controller of my own thinking. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Jeremiah, I have a desperately wicked heart. I can't control my thinking. I have to yield my thinking to his control and say, Lord, I want my mind to be captured and the thoughts to the obedience of Christ. Christ Capture my thoughts today. Capture my thinking today. Control my mind today. I want it to go where you want it to go. I don't want it to go where I want it to go. You're going to have to battle every day for your thought life to control the throne of your heart. Think about this. Sometimes we say, okay, I'm going to do that in the morning, and then I'm good the rest of the day. Oh, really? You've been living in a different world than I've been living in. Because you can't capture your thoughts in the morning and say, I'm good for the next 12 hours. I'm all ready to go. I'm prepared. Listen, the minute you walk out of the house, boom, you're going to be bombarded again. God, capture my thinking. The minute you get to work, you're going to be captured. You're going to have to capture those thoughts again. The minute you get to school, you're going to have to say, God, control my thinking, control my tongue, control everything about me. The minute you get alone and something happens, the minute you get on your computer, everything is going to bombard you all day long. It's not a one-time thing. It's a constant thing. It's an every minute kind of a thing. Lord, control my thinking. It's all day long. We are bombarded every day relentlessly. We're accosted by all kinds of things. And look, some of them aren't bad, but advertisers want you to think about their product, don't they? They do. They're pushing things all the time. You got little jingles, right? Little things pop up, little things to take your thoughts away. Something, you know, send you on a mental vacation, you know, somewhere, and you're just kind of bouncing around for a while, and your thoughts just get totally scrambled. That's a good word for your thoughts, right? We're accosted. Thus, cast down. It says, casting down imaginations. I want you to think about that. If I walked into my house, and there was a big vase on the mantle, and I just grabbed it and I cast it. That's violent, isn't it? I mean, that's going to get broken. Boom! If I cast it off, I went over here and ripped the lid off the piano and cast it down, right? That'd be violent. So the Bible says here that we are to cast down, and that means with force, on purpose. You're going to have to take control of your thoughts. You know, the devil wants to control your thoughts. It's time we wrestle that process away from him. I don't want Satan controlling my thoughts. Look over to 1 Peter and chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Casting down imaginations. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse number 13. What page, Brother Les? Thank you. Got it. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. I closed it. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. The whole idea, we read in the Bible, there's a word that you can find. It's called the reins. The reins, the same idea, the loins of your mind, the reins of your mind. What is that? What do you think of when you think of reins? A horse, okay? So we put a bit in the horse's mouth, we put a bridle on the horse, we put reins. Why do you do that? To control the horse. Listen, horses, I have, what do you call a horse? Equestrian? I have equestrianophobia, okay? Sorry, I do. Horses don't like me, and I don't like them. I'm going to have to take riding lessons when I get to heaven. I'm going to be a non-credit white horse riding with Jesus, right? And when I come back, he's going to say, Carlson, I don't know what to do with you. We're going to have to leave you up here for a while because you ain't getting on that horse. And we went to Mackinac Island one time. My wife and I, we went there a couple times. And out in Lake Ontario, beautiful place. And there's no cars on Mackinac Island, just horses and bicycles and one ambulance. Thank God I never saw the ambulance. But I said, let's go for a horse ride on the carriage, right? You get in the carriage. And so wouldn't you know, and this probably never happened in the history of Mackinac Island, we get on the horse buggy and we're going up the hill, and all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. It wasn't a car, no, it was the devil. And that horse got spooked and it went backwards down the hill and snapped the tine right off the wagon. And I mean, here we are going very free, we're free floating. I'm like, I'm going to die. And I'm back in an island. What a place to die. And all of a sudden somebody grabs the reins and grabs the horse and stops it right now. Thank God. I was going to shoot the horse. But horses don't like me. We were on where did we go? Prince Edward. I got to stay off the islands, right? We were on Prince Edward Island one day, and so they had a sunset horse ride. So it was romantic, right? We're going on a sunset horse ride. And so my wife gets the horse named Chico, right? And my horse was named Chansey. I should have known, right? So I'm on this horse. This is Chansey. And they said, okay, everybody knows how to ride a horse. I'm like, I looked at the horse, he looked at me, he goes, I hate your guts. I'm like, don't worry, don't kill me, and I won't send you to Elmer's Glue Factory, all right? And I just be nice, all right? And I get on the horse, and there's the reins, right? I don't know what I did, but the horse went right into the woods. I mean, everybody else is going down the path, and there's me, in the woods. I'm like, so don't ever have me ride on a horse. But, you know, they have those reins on the horse, right? And my horse is that My Little Pony right at the fair. You ride around those Shetland pony, my feet are on the ground, right? Like, there goes the horse. That's safe. Right, I can handle that. Or the ones that go up and down, you know, and the dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, the music's playing. That's safe, all right? But I was over. I'm in trouble. Maybe an alpaca. Try that. Did they give alpaca rides? No? Okay. I don't want to chance it. All right. But you have to hold on to the reins of the horse. And if you pull on the rein, the horse is supposed to go one direction. Maybe that's the problem. You pull it this way, it goes that way. I don't know. Left is right. Right is left. Anybody ride horses? Okay, is it left? You pull the left one, they go left? Ha, G. Same thing for sled dogs, all right? I'm good on that. Yeah, we can do sled dogs. Ha, G, right? Smack them, all right? The Iditarod. Okay, I've done that. Okay. Now, the one who controls the reins controls the horse. Gird up the reins, the loins of your mind. So what do we have to do? We have to say, okay, you know what? I am not giving up the reins of my mind. I'm not giving up the loins of my mind, the control of my mind to someone else. Here, Lord, you control my mind. I'm taking the control of my mind. I'm yielding it to Christ. Because if I'm not careful, if I just say, well, we're just going to, it's going to be, a free ride here. It's just going to be a free range pony. And we're just going to go, and that horse will go wild. You'll get hurt. That's what will happen. Imagine if you didn't steer a stagecoach. What would happen? You would have destruction and death. Hey, can you imagine this? I don't know if this ever happened to anybody, but can you imagine this, Brother Ariel? All of a sudden, you're driving your car and the steering wheel comes off. Like, what? What happened, right? I know there's a lot of backseat drivers, but that one's not going to help you. All of a sudden, you don't have a steering wheel. And you're like, wait a minute. If you did not have a steering wheel, you were going to crash. But sometimes we go through life and go, well, my words really don't matter. No, you better take control of the reins of your mind and the reins of your heart and your thinking. Thoughts tend to drift downstream. Thoughts are lazy. They take the path of least resistance. Look, how many times have you ever looked up something on your computer and all of a sudden, and there you are, and you're shopping for shoes. Like, okay, what in the world? Up here, right? It happens because somebody just kind of dangles something out there before you know it, and now you're looking at, oh, vacation, that's a great idea, I should, and you're like, wait a minute, and it's an hour later, right? Hey, you weren't doing anything wrong, but I'm just saying it's easy to get brought down this path somewhere that you had no intention of going there, and it wasn't anything wrong, but it's just a waste of time, and if we're not careful, we can end up in a bad place. Number, I don't know what number it is. Number one, do we ask the Lord to control our thoughts? Number two, capture your own thoughts. If you don't capture your thoughts, the devil will capture them for you. Number three, tell your thoughts what to do, because thoughts become words and thoughts become actions. Look at Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Tell your thoughts what to do, because thoughts become words, and thoughts become actions. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Where did that come from? We were thinking it. Why did I say that? You ever ask yourself, why did I say that? Because you were thinking it, right? Be careful. Proverbs 23, verse 6. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. We become our thoughts. Here's a man on the outside. He seems to be cordial, but the Bible says his heart isn't with you. Why? Because he has evil intention in his heart. Be careful. Thoughts become words and thoughts become actions. Don't we sing that little song in Sunday school? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Hey, there's another one. Oh, be careful, little thoughts, what you think. Oh, be careful, little thoughts, what you think, for the Father up above is looking down in love. Hey, the Bible says he records every idle word that men speak. Well, that's pretty serious, isn't it? There is a daily battle for our mind that we must understand, we must recognize, and we must win. Look over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Now, it's interesting. The greatest Christian, I think, in the New Testament is the Apostle Paul. Now, there are other great Christians in the New Testament. You could debate that. But I think the Apostle Paul was probably the greatest Christian in the New Testament. He was very candid about several things, which is hopeful and helpful. Because he struggled with this, his thinking, his mind, and he told us that he struggled with it. And he was mature enough to say, I have a problem with this, but I'm going to get victory. And here is the idea. Look at how many times we find yielding and serving. Romans chapter 6. What shall I say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Be careful who's reigning in your mortal body. Be careful who's sitting on the throne of your heart, who controls your thinking. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Don't all of our members stem from our thinking? This hand is controlled by my mind. These feet are controlled by my mind, and so are yours. Every part of our body, including our words, is controlled by our mind. And so we have to say, all right, I'm going to yield my members by yielding my mind, by saying, Lord, I want you to control my mind. I want you to control my thinking. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? And it goes on through the whole passage here. Yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness, verse number 19. And it goes on, and it even goes into the next chapter. It's about yielding and serving. Paul admitted his struggle. Look at chapter 7, Romans, verse 5. For when we were yet in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Now here's the answer coming up. And the commandment which was ordained unto life I found to be unto death, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. And he goes on, and he struggles. The good I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that do I. He said, I have this struggle going on all the time. I want to do good, except I have a problem. I have the old sinful nature. Here's the answer. Romans 7. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Paul said, I have a struggle every day. I want to do the right thing, and I find myself doing the wrong thing. I don't want to do the wrong thing. I find myself doing it. I have a war that goes on inside me. And what is the answer? I delight in the law of the Lord after the inward man. I delight in God's word. That wins the victory. My Bible time is what gives the victory. My time in God's word, my time reading his word and meditating on his word and obeying his word, that gives me victory. Look at verse number 23, Romans chapter 7 and verse number 23. And it says, and I closed it, let's see. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. You see, it's on the mind. Paul said the struggle, the battle is fought in the mind. What the mind says, the body does. What the mind says, the mouth speaks. So we must win the battle every day in our mind from the time we wake up to the time we go to sleep. I was talking to somebody today, and they were having a difficult time with nightmares. That's real sometimes. Sometimes, you know, different things in our life and different things maybe in our past. And I said, you know, something that really helps with nightmares is you take a section of the Word of God and meditate on it right before you go to sleep. I mean, taking the Bible and just letting a portion of Scripture and a verse, the last thing that goes into your mind, and our mind's working all the time. Even while we're sleeping, the mind is just going 100 miles an hour. And so meditating on something. There's a warfare going on. Do you see it? There's a warfare. Verse 23, Paul said, I've got a war. You can only think one thought at a time. What should you do? Make it a good thought. Look at Psalm 119. You can think one thought at a time. You know, a good thought pushes out a bad thought. Psalm 119. Two verses here. I love this chapter. It's all about the Word of God. Every verse except two mentions Scripture. Verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Look at verse number 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Start your day with Scripture. You know, if it's just a couple verses. Start your day with Scripture. That's easy to do. Look, we all have a Bible. We all have a copy of the Word of God. And we all have, maybe availability on a phone or something. We can listen to it. Start your day with Scripture. Here's a thought. To have proper conversation, we must give our thoughts clear guidelines. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Here's a verse we all know. Philippians chapter 4. If we're going to have the proper thoughts, we've got to give our mind boundaries. Philippians 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Here are eight things that we all have to think about. You know, I was going to bring one of these in. I don't know if we have one in the church nursery, but remember those shape sorters? I was too old for those, okay? But kids had them. And they're red and blue and have little yellow handles, right? As you pick them up like that. You got that in the nursery? I love those things, all right? You can put a square peg in a round hole, okay? You just open it up. Psh, there it goes. But yeah, there are criteria. And so there's one that looks like a cross, right? An X. There's one that's a circle. There's an oval. What other shapes do they have? What? A triangle, okay. A square. A crescent, okay. A rectangle. Pentagon. Is there a star? Okay. A rhombus. Okay, now we're getting into, wow, that's way back to geometry. Stay out of geometry. No, I almost didn't graduate high school. All right. That was a tough one. But I have flashbacks. But, you know, everything, every thought, we ought to be able to say, okay, does it fit? Is it pure? Is it honest? Is it lovely? Is it virtuous? Is it wholesome from the beginning all the way to the end, 100% with no impurity? Is it something that meets the criteria of Philippians chapter 4? Is it just? Is it lovely? If it doesn't, we ought to throw that piece out. So you know what? That's not a thought I'm going to think. Throw it away. It doesn't fit in a shape sorter. There's only eight shapes. It's pretty easy, isn't it? So we ought to think about these things. Number two, the second thing. I said number one, let's let the Lord approve our words. We talked about that for a while. Number two, from our text, our words toward God, we started here, verse number 31, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. The blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. For whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. It's talking about someone rejecting the Holy Ghost and the plan of salvation. The Holy Ghost bringing them to Christ. If we reject salvation, it will never be forgiven, and we will be lost. Our words toward God, how many times have you heard someone reject Christ and reject the gospel, and it's heartbreaking, and they don't receive Christ, and I'll plead with them, and I'll say, listen, now is the day of salvation. It'll be harder for you to say, oh, no, I don't care, I'll take my chances. It's so sad, and they'll remember that someday if they never receive Christ, that they spoke those words. No, I don't want to be saved. Number two, the consistency of our words. Verse number 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. You know what that's saying? It's saying, look, come down on one side or the other. Be consistent. What's in your heart, what comes out of your mouth, either be good or be evil. Don't be in the middle. You can't be in the middle. Our words. Only you know what you write. Only you know what you think. But God knows. It ought to scare you if it's corrupt. You ever see now pretty soon we start getting those seed catalogs, right? And they send you those seed catalogs. I always like those, right? That's a great seed catalog. It's called Burpees. Why would I want to buy anything from Burpees, right? Gurney's is better, right? I don't want to burp when I eat the food. But you buy these seed catalogs. You know what they do? They take an apple tree and they graft couple different kinds of apples. Anybody ever see the ads for those things? I wonder if they really work, right? They'll take a golden, delicious apple, and they'll take a red, delicious apple, and they'll take a Granny Smith, all right, and they graft them all together. Yeah, you got one? Does it work? Awesome. It was kind of weird, right? You like go to this apple tree, there's four different kinds of fruits on it, okay? Different kinds. But that's not so with the person for long. They can have a different kind of fruit, but they're eventually going to produce what the root is. There's no grafting. A good tree produces good fruit. A corrupt tree produces corrupt fruit. We looked at the source of our words in verse number 34. Where do they come from? Our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's an overflow. It just flows out of our heart. So if we put good things in our heart, guess what? Kindness is going to come out. Gentleness is going to come out. Edification is going to come out. Good things are going to come out. If we have the other in our heart, the other will come out. Verse 35, we identify ourselves to others by our words. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Don't we identify others by their words? We do. We listen to what people say and we identify them. It's not always fair, but we put people in categories by their words, and so people do with us. Verse 36, God records our words. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. All these newfangled ways we have of speaking. You know, God has Hillary Clinton's emails. I mean, he has a really big server, right? All these different ways of speaking. God has everything. You could put bleach bit and acid wash and everything, and God says, you know what? I have it. I have it. Verse 37, our words are not neutral. By our words, we are justified, and by our words, we are condemned. Words are not neutral. They mean something. So let's be careful of our conversation. Now, there are a lot of different, I had a list about this long, of all the times the word conversation is found in the Bible. Most of the time, it's not talking about our conversation that comes out of our mouth. There are plenty of other verses about that. It's talking about our manner of life. It's talking about our walk. It's talking about everything consistent with us, including our conversation. So let's just be careful of our conversation in a new way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to think about our words. I pray that if one thing would last in our mind tonight, it would be that verse in Psalm 19. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, may we remember we are redeemed, first of all. We're saved, and we should talk like we're saved. And you are our strength. I pray that we'd rely on you for our thinking. And Lord, I pray that every day we would yield to you and capture our thoughts and cast down imaginations. And Lord, that it would be a often times during the day thing where we come to you and say, Lord, you've got to control my thinking. You've got to control my words. You've got to control my actions. I yield to you. And Lord, I want you to reign on the throne of my heart today. I pray that you bless the invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. Let's stand. And we have an invitation if you need to kneel here and pray. Maybe just ask the Lord to control your thinking even more.